exactly where my message is going to be, but we're going to start there because I want to take a look at a couple verses in the book of Psalms. Psalms 27 is where we're going to be for just a couple of verses, and then I want you to turn over to the book of 2 Timothy. But Psalms 27, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Then if you drop down to verse 14, it says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart." Wait, I say, wait on the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. I just pray now that everything that's said and done will be for your honor and glory. I want to be a help to the people today. And I know if everybody listens intently that we'll get something out of this message that we can use in our own lives. Be with us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The other day I was reading Psalms 27, and I was also looking at 2 Timothy chapter 4, and if you want to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, that's where we're going to kind of be today. And as I was looking at this, I saw some very interesting things that I think each and every one of us can use in our lives. Now, I want to look for a little bit this morning at what we need to do when things happen which we really can't control. Have you ever had that happen? Something happened to you and you go, what am I going to do about this? I have no control over what happens. You know, there will be times in our lives that there seem to be things that come and we don't know exactly why, but they just happen to happen that way. And we realize that there's really not anything that we can do about it other than just let it go. And in 2 Timothy, we see Paul writing a letter to a young preacher boy by the name of Timothy. Timothy was a man who was led to Christ either by his grandmother Lois or by Paul himself. But Paul wanted Timothy to realize that there's some things that are going to happen in his life that he needs to be ready for. You know, each of us go through different things in our life, and we don't know exactly why God allows us to go through them. You know, why was it God allowed you, Bob, to be 93 years old? Amen? And Bob just turned 93 not too awful long ago, and it's so good to see that he's here this morning. But, you know, we need to realize that there's going to be things that are going to happen outside of us being able to have any control over it. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, that's where we're going to be this morning. I've got I want to show you some things that Paul talks about, and I really believe that if we can get a handle on this, that when it happens to us, we can get through it without too much trouble. In the first thing I see is this: people are going to disappear. I'm not saying just poof, and they're gone, but people are going to disappear in your life. Did you know that? Look at verse 10 of chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. It says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cercius to Galatia, and Titus to Dimithia." Now, I want you to look at some things here. You know, I have a hard time sometimes figuring people out. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought, you know, I just can't figure out why people do what they do. You know, I can't understand why people make the decisions that they do or why things happen the way they can. You know, I can't understand why people, for some reason or another, will take and just leave church. You know, why they just, all of a sudden, they quit coming to church. They just, you know, vanish, so to speak, and they disappear. For some reason, they're not here. You know, I think of the school the same way. You know, I can't understand, and I have a real hard time understanding why kids get a good education. They come to school, they're way behind, and we get them caught up. They're getting a good education. They're getting a good biblical background. Then all of a sudden, poof, they're gone. For no, you know, no reason I can understand other than they leave. Well, you know, Paul had people who had followed him, helped start churches, had seen all of his preaching, had seen everything that God allowed him to do. Then for some reason, they decided to go back into the way they used to live. They no longer wanted to follow Paul and help with these newly formed churches. Now, one of them that was Didymus, you know, he forsook Paul. He went back into this present world. He liked the things of the world better than he did of the Lord. Now, I was doing a little bit of studying on him to see where he was in that. He had followed Paul for 2 years. Went everywhere Paul did. He saw all the miracles Paul had done. He heard every one of Paul's messages. Every one of them. And yet he decided that the world was better than following the Lord. And he went back into the world. He quit going to church. Man, he just disappeared. He just left. And you know, as I was going through this, I'm thinking to myself, I thought, you know, people disappear and not feel the Lord or follow the Lord as close as they used to. They'll not. They'll use all kinds of excuses why they can't come to church. And many times, they never darken the doors of a church again. I happened to run into a guy the other day who had been in this church some years ago, and him and his wife and his kids, and I said to him, I said, well, where are you going to church? And he looked down at the floor and he says, well, we're not. I said, well, when was the last time you were in church? He said, when was the last time we were there? That was about 10 years ago. You know, I said to him, I said, well, what happened? I mean, this guy was really, him and his wife, they were helping with the youth group. They were teaching a Sunday school class. You know, they were really active in the church. Then for some reason, all of a sudden, they disappeared. They never came to church anymore. I said to him, I said, what happened? He said, well, he says, you know, things happen the way they do and this and that. And I said, well, what happened to the kids? Well, he says, the one boy, he had 4 or 5 kids, and the daughter, she had 3 or 4 kids. And so I said to him, I said, they're married? No. They just disappeared out of church. I said to him, I said, well, what happened? What happened? I said, what caused you to disappear out of church? He says, well, we just had things that we wanted to do in life. And I thought to myself, I thought, man, alive. You know, what happened to these people? You know, aren't we to train up a child in the way he's to go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it? You know, many times preachers will beat themselves up because people disappear from church and they can't understand why. You know, believe it or not, I take people's lives seriously. I do. When people aren't here in church, I think to myself, I wonder what's going on. I'll call him. I'll say, are you okay? Yeah, we're fine. Well, how come you weren't in church? Well, we had things to do. You know, they disappear from church. And I take things seriously because that's what God has put me here for. I'm the shepherd. I'm to watch out for the sheepies. I had a friend of ours who's he's a minister, and his wife, and she told me one time, she goes, you know, she says, sheep are dumb. I said, what? She goes, yeah, sheep are dumb. She goes, have you ever read in the Bible where a sheep will just take off and wander away? I said, yeah. She goes, sheep are dumb. I said, yeah, I guess you're right. Sheep are dumb. But you know, God puts people here for me to take care of them. And that's what I try to do. But I can't take care of them if they're not here. You know, if people disappear from following Paul in his day, I don't know why we as preachers should feel bad when they don't stick around now. Just a sideline to this. Did any of you happen to see, I can't remember where I saw it. There's a big church in South Carolina. Huge church. It's an evangelical free church. You know, believe anything, anything. One Sunday morning, a couple weeks ago, people came in and they were ushered up to the upper balcony. Everybody that came to church, the first people came was ushered up to the upper balcony. And nobody knew why. Because they always came to church early so they could get out in front. But they were ushered up to the top balcony. And so the pastor, or the guy gets up to preach, and he's standing there, and he says, okay, he says, we're going to have a baptism. Everybody just kind of looked at him, and all of a sudden the spotlight went off to him, to a giant super slide that came down from the balcony into this pool of water that was on the stage. And the ushers were upstairs taking people that they had ushered in, fully clothed, putting them on this slide and shoving them down this slide into this pool of water. And he had hired four auctioneers to stand there and go, I now baptize you in the name of the Father. And, I mean, it was unbelievable. I'm looking at this. I can't believe this. And then they went and they said they had a watch to make sure that the people went all the way underneath the water or they had to do it again. And then if the auctioneer didn't get all the way through it, they had to do it again too. I'm thinking to myself, somebody has no idea what baptism is all about. I mean, I couldn't even believe that. You know, it's no wonder people disappear from church. They interviewed one of the guys that was there, and they said, well, did you plan on getting baptized today? He says, no. He says, this is the first time I've ever been in this church. They said, are you coming back? He says, no. He says, if I want to get wet, I can go fishing. He says, at least I can come home with some fish. He says, there wasn't even any fish in there. He says, I'll never be back. I mean, people, it amazes me how people are so blinded to everything. We finished our study on different translations on Wednesday night. And it's amazing, and I can see where it comes from. And it's off a lot of these translations that they have out there today of the Bible. Nobody knows what's right. And the people behind the pulpits aren't teaching what's right. That's what the problem is. And we're seeing people disappear from churches because they're not being taught the Word of God. The second thing is this. First is we're going to be people disappear. Second thing is there's going to be disappointments come. There's going to be disappointments come. Look at verse 16, chapter 4. It says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. As I was reading this verse, I was almost feeling the pain of disappointment that Paul had. You know, some of his most faithful followers had just disappeared. They were no longer around him, helping him with the ministry. They were doing what everyone else was in the world. They wanted nothing to do with him. They only wanted to do with what their lives had. You know, Paul, at his hearing in front of the judge, he was presenting his case. in front of the judge. And there was no one there to back him up. Not one of his friends or followers were at his trial. Not one of them. They all left and forsook him. You know, you can almost feel the disappointment in his voice as he was writing this. Look closely at the wording that he uses. No man stood with me. All forsook me. Not one person stood with Paul. Not one person said, hey, you know what? I'm going to stick with him. I will give evidence in his favor. Not one. Not one. You know, after all the preaching and teaching that Paul did, and those who were with him by his side and everything else as he was growing these young churches, giving them what they needed for the future, what happened to them? Why was it that no one stood by him? After all, they had seen him cast out demons. They had seen him cause blind people to see. All through this, they saw him do many miracles. But where were those that Paul had depended on to help him do the work that God had placed in front of him? You know, how disappointing this had to be for Paul, knowing all he had done for the cause of Christ, and no one would put in a good word for him. Not one. You know, it's amazing how disappointing the ministry really is. You know, people will come and tell you, oh, we'll do this for you, we'll do this for you, we'll do this for you. And then when it comes to getting done, no one is there to see it get accomplished. It just doesn't get done. You know, someone said once that the most disappointing profession there is in the world is the ministry. And you know what? I didn't really believe that until I became a pastor. But it is. People are going to disappoint you in whatever you do. You know, how many of you work in secular jobs and you can say, well, you know what? All of the people I work for, when they say they're going to do something, it's done. I'll tell you what, I worked in the secular world for a long time. I had 40 or 50 people underneath me, and I was constantly going behind them to make sure that everything was accomplished that we needed to get done. And it's amazing how many times they said they would do something and it never got done. You know, how would you like to work at the prison and then you tell a guard to go and make sure that all the doors are locked, and you go behind them and see them all open? Wouldn't that be something, huh? You know, the other night when we were without power, when that microburst went through in the... were you working that night when they lost all the power over there? Huh? Oh, but all of a sudden all the power went out at the prison. Now, think about this for a minute. Everything is run by electricity. All the locks, all the doors, all the cameras, everything is run by electricity. Electricity went out, and guess what? The generators didn't kick in. Yeah. I mean, they're calling every law enforcement agency from 25 miles around to get people down here to guard the prison so that nobody escaped. Somebody didn't do their job making sure those generators were running. I heard the next day that there was a few heads that were rolling because the generators weren't running. But they ran the next day. But, you know, people are going to disappoint you. They are. People are going to take and bring disappointment into your life. You know, David. You know, when David was living, I can't think of anybody who got more disappointed than what David was. You know, David's men got very upset with him at one time. After all, now just follow me with this story. David was going to fight Israel. David was an Israelite. David was going to be the next king of Israel. He had already been anointed king. He was going to fight Israel with the Philistines, his enemy. But that's who he's living with. So he was going to go fight them. And guess what? They said, no, you're not going with us. You're an Israelite. You're not going to go and fight. You go on back home. So David and his men went back home. They went back to Ziklag. They come into Ziklag, and as they're coming, they could see smoke. And they think, oh, hey, they're having a barbecue. Yeah! Somebody's having a party. They got to Ziklag, and someone had burned the city down. They had taken all of the people in the city captive. They had taken all of the animals. They had taken all of their wealth. They had taken everything that was in the city, including David's wives and his children. Now, David's got about 400 men with him. And guess what? All 400 of these men, their families were gone too. Now, David, I'm sure, was not very happy about what had happened. But you know what? His men disappointed him. His men disappointed him. You know why? They wanted to stone him. They wanted to kill him. Was it his fault that everybody was taken? Was it his fault that they had ravished and burned the city down? He wasn't even there. He was with his men. But yet they brought disappointment into his life because they turned against him. And he was all alone. When Joshua and the children of Israel went up against the city of Ai, they lost 36 men. Joshua became very disappointed with his people. Why was it you guys couldn't fight a little town of Ai? We came back, you ran with your tails between your legs, came all the way back. We lost 36 men. He had forgot about the victory they just had at Jericho and how the walls came tumbling down and they went in and they destroyed the whole thing. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, I want you to look at that for just a second. Alexandria, the coppersmith, did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also? For he hath greatly withstood our words. Wow. Paul, believe it or not, is disappointed. He's disappointed in this coppersmith because he went against him. He went against what he believed. He went against what his teaching was. You know, it seems like when we have disappointment in life, things don't always go the way they should. You know, when Jesus was in the upper room, do you think he became a little disappointed in his disciples? You know, the night that he was betrayed, what did Peter say? Lord, I'm going to follow you everywhere. I will stand up for you. I will go to trial for you. In fact, I'll even go to death for you. Jesus knew already then what was going to happen, didn't he? He says, Peter, he says, before the sun rises in the morning and the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. I will never deny you. What happened? Denied him. He denied him. He knew that Peter was going to deny him. He knew what was going to happen. But you know, the third thing that happens is this. Discouragement is going to come. Not only will disappointment come, but discouragement is going to come. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, it says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake a stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord." And we read verse 14 and 15. But in both those verses, you're going to see that there was discouragement that came with victory. You know, Paul had many victories, didn't he? After all, you look at the church of Corinth, you look at the church of Ephesus, you look at the church of Rome, you look at the different churches that he started. He had victories in his life. But you know what? There was also discouragement that came along with the victories. You know, any time we have victories, we're going to have discouragement. I get really afraid when good things happen because I know something bad's going to happen right after it. I do. I just know that. You know, last Monday night, I led a whole family to the Lord. Husband, wife, and a daughter. And man, I'll tell you what, I was feeling really good. And then I got home and my wife gave me some bad news. And I'm thinking, man, you just burst my bubble. You know what I mean? And you know, it seems like whenever we have victories in our life, discouragement is going to come. You know, all through the Bible, we see people who had become discouraged by what had happened in their life. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, you know, David had just come home from being allowed to go and fight battles. And he found Ziklag destroyed. You know, it seems like when disappointment happens, discouragement comes right after it. Have you ever noticed that? If you get disappointed in something, all of a sudden, discouragement will come right after it. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 14 and 15 that we read, we see that Paul had been discouraged with how some of his followers had turned on him and turned away from him. You know, when a person works hard at what you feel the Lord wants you to do in life, and you try to teach and train the next generation, and then all of a sudden, for some reason, all the work that's put in goes awry, you get discouraged. You do. Discouragement sets in. There are times in our lives when discouragement gets so great that we want to quit. Have you ever been there? Done that? I know I have. You know, I got to thinking about this a little bit, and I preached a message not too long ago about Joshua and how many times God said, "Be very courageous. Be of good courage." Why? Because there was going to be things that were going to happen in his life that were going to discourage him. Cool. Hey, we got goldfish. All right, that sounds good. I like goldfish. I was eating them myself. But you know, there's times in our lives when discouragement gets so great that we just want to quit. We want to throw up our hands and say, "That's it, we're done. I'm not going to go on any longer. I can't do it." You know, that's when we have to take and think, okay, Lord, why did you really put me here? You know, one of the greatest things that I ever did was this. And another pastor friend of mine, before I became a pastor, he told me this. He says, "What you need to do is you need to take and start a praise book." I said, "A praise book?" He goes, "Yeah." He says, "Whenever something happens good, write it in the praise book." He says, "Then when discouragement comes, you pick up that praise book and you read through it and you'll see why God brought you where He did. He was a very wise man. I started that back in 1998. And you know how many times I've read through that thing? Many, 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 many times. And every time I do, I get to about page 12 or 14 and I start crying. I bow my head and I say, okay, God, I know why You've got me here. I just got to keep my head down and I've just got to keep going. Even though I got discouraged, even though I wanted to quit, I've just got to put my head down and keep going. You know, people are going to bring discouragement to you, but God will bring victory to overcome what you're going through. God's going to bring the victory to overcome what you're going through. Look at verses 17 and 18. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me to His heaven. To whom be glory forever. We read in Psalms chapter 27, verse 14, it says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait. I say, wait on the Lord. You know, even though Paul had people disappear from around him, even though Paul had people disappoint him, even though Paul had people discourage him in his life, Paul knew who was by his side and would keep him safe from all the troubles that he was going to go through. You know, look at the wording that Paul uses. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Paul, from depression, feeling alone, he came to realizing that he wasn't alone, that God was still with him. It didn't matter what he went through. It didn't matter what heartaches he had. It didn't matter how much disappointment, how much discouragement, how many people left. Guess what? God was still there. What more did he need? God was still there. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with what things that ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, when David's men wanted to take and stone him to death, have you ever read the rest of that? It says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Wow. Think about that for a minute. Here's David. He has all of his men around him. They wanted to kill him because of what had happened at Ziklag. He had no friend to turn to. Nobody. Everybody was against him. He had to encourage himself in the Lord. You know, if a person doesn't know the Lord, how can they encourage themselves in Him? If a person doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, how can they encourage themselves? I don't know how people can get through life today without God. I don't know. I know I can't. There's no way I can. I have to take and rely on Him daily to get me through. You know, God may not be, God is our answer when we feel that we're all alone. You know, we need His strength. We need His guidance to get us through the things that we can't get through on our own. You know, all of us need to do as the Bible says, and I guarantee that we're going to get through all the pitfalls of life. We're going to get through them. You know, because we're going to have people that are going to disappear from us. All of a sudden, for somebody's going to look at you and say, I don't
like you no more.
And boom, they're gone. You know what I mean? People are going to bring disappointment in your life. People are going to bring discouragement in your life. It's at those times when we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. You know, let's all remember who's on our side. And who's going to help us get through the disappearing, the disappointments, and the discouragement that's going to come. Isaiah 40:31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." You know what? If we would take and do that, we'd have a whole lot better life, wouldn't we? I think we'd have a whole lot easier life to go through if we would take and wait on the Lord. You know, if you're here today and you don't know exactly where you would spend eternity if you were to die, you need to take and find the Lord. You need to find the person who's going to take and stand closer than a brother. Now, each and every one of us can take and have that same opportunity. We can have the same God as what Paul did, as what David did. All we need to take is turn our eyes upon Him, and He'll take and direct our paths. You know, as I was doing this, the last 6 months have really been kind of tough. And yet, you know what? I found my strength in the Lord. He's directed my paths. And everything's worked out. Everything's worked out. But if I would have tried to get through it on my own, guess what? Nothing would have worked out. Right, Bob? We got to take and lean on the Lord. And He will take care of everything. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for today. We thank You for Your love. And Father, I just pray now that You would guide and direct us. Father, maybe there's somebody here today that doesn't even know what would happen if they were to die, where they would spend eternity. Father, I pray for them today. I pray that You might take and help them to understand what they need to do to be saved. And Father, we pray for those who are here today who might be having people disappear from their lives, or maybe they've got someone in their life that's disappointing them. Maybe they got somebody who's bringing discouragement in their lives, Lord. I just pray that they might take and look to You for their guidance. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute, maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know, preacher, I've got people in my life that have kind of walked out on me. Maybe you've got people in your life that have brought some real disappointments in your life. Or maybe you've got some people that have really discouraged you. If that's you, I want to pray for you today. Just raise your hand quickly, quietly, so I can pray for you. Yes, I see hands all over the auditorium. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know, preacher, I'm not 100% sure if I were to die right now where I'd spend eternity. Would you pray for me today? Is there anyone like that? Just quickly, quietly raise your hand, put it back down. Anyone at all? Father, You've seen the hands, You know the hearts. I pray for these that have raised their hand today that there might be someone in their life that has disappeared. Or maybe, Lord, there's somebody in their life that has brought some disappointment. Or maybe, Lord, there's somebody that has been discouraging them. Father, I pray that You would take and help them to get through this. Help them to lean on You, and You'll direct their paths. Father, we thank You so much for loving us. Thank You for being there for us. I just pray now for the rest of this invitation to be for Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's all stand, turn our hymnal number 163. 163.